James Lorimer is the spokesman on minerals and petroleum. He's with the Democratic Alliance. So now you're part of government, James. Your party is part of government. In the past, we could have lovely, free-flowing conversations where there were no kickbacks coming onto you in future from within the party or indeed anywhere else. Now I guess you've got to be a little more circumspect or not.
Well, yes, I think treat what I say about the grand political project with a pinch of salt. This is my opinions. It's not necessarily the opinions of the Democratic Alliance until it is about specifically minerals and petroleum. That's my lane. So I can talk freely in my lane. The other ones, well, that's an opinion and everyone has one. I might have a different one because I'm close to it all, but please treat it as such.
Well, and I want to start there because we're going to focus on the minerals, the new proposed minerals and petroleum bill or mineral resources bill. But there's been a lot of feedback from rational minds on what Cyril Ramaphosa was rambling on about at Parliament earlier this week. And the one thing that really, you know, he was baffled. I was baffled. As a kid, I used to go to a decades-old bicycle shop that had, it was the best record place in Newcastle called Jadwats. And if Jadwats were out of price, then CDATS was just around the corner. And there were many of these stores owned by black people. And yet Ramaphosa says that, left the impression that before the ANC came to power, black people would be locked up for having businesses. I then went and had a look back. And what makes such a lie of this, what is such a Donald Trumpism of this, is that NAFCOC, the national, basically the Chamber of Commerce for African people or black people, was established in 1964, and it comes from a previous iteration that was established in 1955. So 1955, what's that, 75 years, three quarters of a century later, black people have had businesses, but we're almost getting this impression now that we need BEE, desperately need BEE, because black people have been excluded from the economy forever, and if ever they wanted to be involved in the economy, they were thrown into jail. Man, this is getting toxic.
It's toxic, but it's politics, and you can see the politics from the ANC's point of view. People who actually experienced apartheid are becoming fewer and fewer of them as they get older and literally die off. And in order to try and maintain a younger constituency, the ANC has to create an impression about what they're fighting against. And if they need to make out that apartheid had features that it didn't necessarily have to make it sound worse, so that you can get people's allegiance to what otherwise seemed to be really bad ideas. I mean, BEE as an idea, you can see it's not working. So how do you get people to subscribe to it? You have to make the alternative or the past that we're coming from sound really, really terrible. To try and get people to adhere to your ideas. And, you know, I think, and I mean, it's funny, Alec, that we go straight to the stuff that I'm not really, you know, qualified to talk about because it's not directly my lane. But the big discussion in South African politics at the moment is BEE. Is BEE the right way to make up for past sins, political sins? Is it the right way to bring more people into the center of the economy? We obviously say no. But the ANC seems to be stuck on policies that were designed in the 70s, and those were very hardline socialist policies. They had a slight modification during the Mandela years, and yet we're reverting to type. The National Democratic Revolution, which is really socialism, and it's racial socialism, racial national socialism is really what it is. And that's front and center of the discussion.
Yeah, thankfully South Africans are not dumb. We know that this economy has gone nowhere in 17 years, in fact gone backwards for the last 17 years by grown less than the economic growth rate. Ramaphosa was very vocal about the lost years under Zuma, but well, he's got quite a few lost years of his own now to contend with. But let's move on to this doubling down across the board, it seems to be. The whole BEE racial policies enriching a tiny few politically connected people. It's just so damn obvious now wherever you look around it. And South Africans are not stupid. They see through this. The big part of this, though, and it is in your lane, and it is in your portfolio, is this proposed new minerals resources bill, which the what used to be called the Chamber of Mines, the Mineral Resources Council, has stood up very vocally against already. And Gwede Mantashe, the minister, says, no, we got it. We got this. This is what we're going to do. We're going to double down on the disaster that we have so far. James, surely it frustrates people on the outside. For someone who knows all this stuff intimately, does it not frustrate you?
To the point that I feel like my eyeballs are about to bleed. I mean, as you said, the mining industry is not in a good place. Last year, tax revenues that they paid to government just about halved, and the same with mineral royalties. The mining industry is struggling. So what do you do when the mining industry is struggling? What you should do is you should improve the conditions and make it easier for them to operate so that they can make their businesses more sustainable and so that you can attract more mining businesses into the industry. What do they do instead? They make it more difficult. Because I think their starting point is completely wrong. They think that we have this unimaginable treasure trove of minerals, which to a large extent we do, and that we can dictate the terms for anybody, because no matter what terms we set, people will always be coming here desperate to set up businesses here to take those minerals out. Well, that's not really true across most of the industry. There are a few parts of the industry which are very rich and very productive, and you can set tough conditions because people will still want to mine, but so many other parts of the industry are just not worth it. People will go elsewhere, and they do.
Just take us through the Fraser Institute. I've kind of followed it over the years. It is a rating of the more attractive mining destinations in the world. How does South Africa rank there at the moment?
Increasingly badly. We're in the bottom 10 of the desirable mining jurisdictions. Fraser is seen as the gold standard, although it does just measure impressions. But that's, after all, what investment decisions are built on. And if people's impression is that South Africa is a terrible place to put your money, then they won't put their money there. And that's what's been happening. Our desirability as a place to start new mining ventures has been going steadily downward. And we're in the bottom 10 of the roughly every year the target changes slightly, but probably close to 100 mining destinations that they look at. And the top places are places like Australia and Canada, and we're now firmly towards the bottom.
I guess the problem with all of this being in the bottom 10 is that you need to encourage people to make long-term investments. What will get us out of the bottom 10, or how long will it take to get us in a place where guys do? Because when you're putting a hole in the ground, when you're putting a mine, it can take up to a decade to bring it into production.
Oh, at least. More often it's 15 or 20 years from exploration to profit-making production. And so it's a really weird business because you need enormous amounts of capital to start a big mine. And you need then certainty that at the end of that 15 or 20 years, you're going to be able to get a return on your capital. And so it has to be quite a big return because of all the time that capital has been tied up. And when you have laws, which are bad laws for a start, they curb your profitability. And what's worse, and what's not talked about perhaps enough, is how badly the laws are applied. You know, we have all these laws. And yet to get these various permissions takes months, times, even years. And so you sit around waiting for your mining license of one sort or another. And you just wait on the department and they don't tell you what's going on often. And you just sit there. So nobody wants their capital tied up. If you want to invest, you want a return. And if you are prepared to sink it into a long-term project, you want certainty that that return will happen. But all that seems to happen here is that we get worse and worse legislation, which make it more and more difficult to make a profit. And is it any surprise that there are very few, perhaps no large-scale mines which are going to be coming on stream in the next few years? I mean, there's a couple of sort of holdovers which are reaching the end of that 15, 20-year cycle, and they're coming on. but no big ones are starting.
We know that the Ramaphosa group want to bring in or double down on BEE with this 100 black industrialists with however much they want to put in their 100 billion rand, where they can get it from. The Lord only knows, but anyway, they probably do. What's this new regulation or the proposed new regulations for the mining sector? Is that also a doubling down on the pathway of the past?
Very much so. And you're touching on a number of areas there. I mean, the Black Industrialists Program is something that runs across government in several areas. The one estimate is that it takes about 6 to 8 billion rand a year. Some of that, it happens in mining, but other parts of it happen under other ministries. So it's quite difficult to get a finger on this. What it is, as far as I'm concerned, the most outrageous, what's the American word, boondoggle that has yet been devised. Basically, they say, we need black people to be industrialists, so we will pick people. We don't really know what the criteria are. We'll pick people, and we will bung them several tens of millions of rands, and they will become industrialists. Now, guess who's going to get those millions? And guess if any of them do eventually end up making money, guess who they're going to be beholden to? They're going to be ANC businessmen feeding money back to the ANC. I think that's one of their funding sources. And that's a hobby horse of mine that I ride now and again. This particular amendment bill, though, doesn't talk to that. It talks to various other things. And parts of mining legislation that have reared their head in the past and have been thankfully seen off are coming back now. So it's, as you say, it's doubling down. The mining industry is not doing well. So in typical ANC fashion, what are they doing? Well, all the things that cause it not to do well, they're bringing back in force. I think it's a lack of imagination. It's a lack of understanding of how economics works. And the only thing in their playbook is black economic empowerment and all the things that they've tried up until now. So they're unable to change course. And so we have this doubling down. So, I mean, can I go through some of the sort of, six kind of prominent things. Now, remember, it's early days. This thing has been very confusingly written, but this is what's come out of it so far. So you may remember that the legal battle over once empowered, always empowered, which came up in the discussion of the mining charter, and that was eventually decided by the courts. And just to give you a bit of background, what it is that when you have a mining license, you have to have a black empowerment component of 30%. So it was 26 before, but it's now 30%. So what was happening was that you would have to find a black company. They would often have to be financed because, of course, the whole rationale is that you're empowering them. So you'd have to design these complex financial structures so they would own that percentage of the mine and be able to pay for it somehow out of future profits, etc. Very complicated set of agreements. What was happening was black groups were coming in in some cases, then selling those shares and taking a profit, which, fair enough, mines were saying, okay, well, we've empowered you. We don't have to do it again. The government wants you to maintain that 30%. I should stop talking about the government. That's habit. The ANC wants you to maintain that 30%. And so if your black partners exit, you have to go around and find more and set up another complicated financial structure, which will cost your other shareholders, not only in money, but also in time and effort. So it makes it incredibly complex. That is back in the law now. So once empowered, always empowered is going to go. So that's one of the most problematic things about this new law. There's another thing about change of control of people who own mining licenses, what they call Section 11 of the Act. And it is now that if there's a private company that owns a mining license, the change in ownership of even one share in that company has to get the permission of the minister. Not control, as it used to be, but the change in ownership of even one share. And when it's a listed company, it has to be agreed to by the minister to when there's a change of control, even if the change of control happens offshore. So you can imagine a big multinational gets taken over in Australia, and yet the minister has to give permission for that to happen in South Africa. Quite how that's going to work, we don't know. That's one of the features of this amendment, is there's a lack of clarity. Then there's the whole issue about beneficiation. another hobby horse of mine. Everybody loves beneficiation. Isn't it great? Just so logical. You dig the mineral out of the ground. Don't send it overseas. Turn it into things here. Build factories here. The problem is that it is not cost effective. So if we dig iron ore out of the ground, it's cheaper to put that iron ore on a train, on a ship, send it to China, let them make steel, let them make it into teaspoons and import our South African iron ore teaspoon back here rather than making it here. Why is it cheaper? Well, first of all, they have an important component called electricity, which we don't have. Secondly, they have probably things like just your manufacturing costs less. You don't have the same sort of health and safety. You don't have the same sort of unions that you have to pay. So it just means that everything is going to be cheaper if made in China. We could make it here, but we'd make it at a loss. So this new beneficiation provision gives the minister the power to tell mines to set aside a certain amount of their production for beneficiation. Doesn't say how much, doesn't say how much they'll get paid for it. Incredibly damaging for us. One of the most egregious parts of this law is the law pertaining to old mine dumps. Now, as you may know, some of those old dumps are immensely valuable. Two of our most spectacularly performing gold companies at the moment, Pan African Resources and Durban Roodepoort Gold, have the business of reprocessing old mine dumps, and they do so very profitably. Before the old act came into force in 2004, a mine dump wasn't considered a mine. It was movable property. So you didn't have to have a special license to reprocess it. Now, this amendment wants to make that a requirement. So those guys who have those dumps will have to then go and apply for a mining license with all the BEE components, the local localized labor components and everything. It just makes it, you know, that to me, I have to be honest, looks like just legalized theft. You know, guys have seen these guys doing so well. They want a part of it. And so they're going to change the law to make it so. Another really bad part of this amendment pertains to exploration. Exploration has been the one part of the mining process that hasn't required BEE. And there's a reason for this, is because a lot of people lose a lot of money on exploration. It's really just chucking money at something and hoping that you get a payback. And no starting out black empowerment company wants to take the risk. You don't want to put up money and then just, you know, on the expectation that very little of it, you know, you've got a very small chance of getting it back. So this now makes that a requirement that you will have to have BEE in your exploration, which means, sadly, that even our declining exploration is going to decline even further. Now, we used to get 3 or 4% of world expenditure on mining exploration. When Gwede Mantashe became minister, he pledged that he would raise that to 5%. Well, currently it's under 1%. And now he's bringing in this law as well, which means we're going to get very, very little exploration. And if you don't have the exploration, quite obviously you don't get new mines because you're not finding things. The old mines are getting exhausted and the industry is simply going to go into decline. There's more stuff I can talk about. Artisanal mining, another bugbear of mine. Everybody's terribly keen on, oh, well, these poor Zama-Zamas, they should be legalized as artisanal miners. The fact of the matter is that in most cases, you would have to have a two-tier system of mining law because artisanal miners cannot do the health and safety. They don't pay tax, probably wouldn't be worth their while to be mining if they had to, and they don't do environmental rehabilitation. So it's almost, except in a very few cases, it's almost impossible to have artisanal mining that will keep to our other laws. Another bad idea that they're trying to regularize in this amendment. So I've given you six reasons to hate this new amendment.
Six of the worst, not six of the best. But James, the irrational mind says, are these guys really that thick? Surely they're not that dumb. Surely they haven't gone out and considered this. There must be something more behind it. What is it?
I think that they don't understand the likely effect of this, that there will be a shrinking industry because the part that their cronies will get in the industry will become larger. And they're not really interested in the long term. I think the ANC, there's very much a feeling in the ANC at the moment that these are their last few years. And so they better get what they can out of it. And I think this is more of that. You know, so grab the money while you can.
Yeah, like the National Party going in towards 1994, where we had, for instance, the cell phone companies being started at that time, etc.
There you go.
A similar thing. There Let's grab what we can because we know we're gone very soon.
Yeah.
But that is going to leave the country with quite a legacy or not. Could this kind of nonsense be reversed quickly enough when there is a more rational government in place?
I'm an optimist enough to believe that it could be. I think that you could turn sentiment around pretty quickly, but you would have to have fairly dramatic legislative changes. I have to admit that this amendment bill does contain about two or three minor improvements, things that we wanted to do for a long time. For example, recriminalizing illegal mining, because that was an oversight that was messed up in 2008. And since then, a lot of illegal miners can only be prosecuted for trespass. Now it looks like it's recriminalized. Good stuff. Overdue. Should have been done. So yes, there are a couple of, as I say, very minor areas of confusion that are being cleared up by this bill. But yes, as to the bigger picture, it would be very easy, I think, to change the legislation quite dramatically and send a signal to investors that that we are open for business. We certainly aren't doing that at the moment. But yeah, I think it could be done. And then the whole vision of this is that the kind of mineral resource that we have and the kind of skills base that we have, we still have that mining skills base, could be used to power the economy out of the doldrums that it is in and actually start real economic growth and pull South Africans out of poverty. But that's going to need big changes, and we're not seeing them here, certainly not under the current mining regime.
So there's going to be no fresh investment. We know that for a fact. This is just too stupid to contemplate that. But what happens to the people who are currently invested in the country and in the sector? What can they do about this?
Well, what they can do is they can protest it vociferously. Mining has, in my view, traditionally been quite cowardly about this. They come from a really bad past where mines behave very exploitatively under the old regime until the last few years of that. They just shut up and took whatever government threw at them, no matter how bad. They were too afraid for their own businesses. You see, the thing is, the government holds a loaded gun pointed at the head of every mining company, because if you're difficult, it just says, well, you can't have this license or that license, and the business just risks stopping operating. So instead of biting the bullet and standing up to government, mines traditionally just said, yes, give me more. And it's only in more recent years, as conditions in the industry have got more difficult, that they've started pushing back a little bit. The Minerals Council is pushing back against this latest amendment. I would like to see them do it far more strongly and vociferously. They take a, in my view, far too diplomatic approach. So I suppose the lack of diplomacy is left to me. But this really is nonsense, this amendment. Now, I will say something else. It could be part of a pattern that we've seen before with mining legislation. The ANC put something completely unacceptable on the table. There's an outcry. People complain and suggest other ways and threaten court action or even go to court. And then what we get is 50% of that terrible bill that's been put on the table. And everybody says, oh, well, it could have been worse. And they accept it. But the problem is, it's got worse. There's still a 50% bad bill. And I suspect that's what's going to happen here. It's now been put out for comment, this bill. And we've got until August to comment. So I think they'll probably ease up on a couple of the more foolish things. But I still think the trend is going to be in the wrong direction. And the investment case is simply going to get worse.
James Lorimer is with the Democratic Alliance. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.